I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 19th, 2025. And for those of you who complained that the introduction was too loud, I've turned it down for you. I am a very diplomatic person. I don't want to spend the entire video talking about this subject, but I have to address it. I'm not sure how long it's going to take. And that is the PPC. I'm going to give you a history lesson so you understand. The way that cults perpetuate themselves is that people don't know the history of the cult and don't listen to former members. I'm going to tell you what you need to know so that you can make an appropriate decision if we get an election. The current crop of PPCers are some of the worst imaginable. There are still some good people there, but the entire 2018-2019 crop is gone. And I'm going to tell you why, but first off, I got to address one of their lies, and that is that I don't even exist. I am one of 250 signatures, along with 10 of my friends, that registered the PPC. Not a founding member, a registrant for the party. That's how early I go back. Here I am at the first conference the PPC gave, giving the opening speech, introducing the whole two-day shebang. And it was a conference. It wasn't a founding convention. The PPC's never had a founding convention. And to this day, the members don't have any rights, don't have any say, can't advance policy. They exist as serfs. And Maxim Bernier can kick you out whenever he wants. It is a corporation, a four-man board. That's all the PPC is until you have a constitution. But here I am. And here I am seated alongside Maxim Bernier, David Rubin, and Professor Haskell at the biggest event we hosted in Hamilton. Now, you cannot believe this is the biggest event in 2019. And people say that this photo is fake. So I'm going to give a shout out to Right Side Broadcasting for the footage you are about to see. They just published a hit piece on me yesterday without even giving me the right to a rebuttal. Because I say critical things about Max. They're still right up his backside. But here I am to tell you the truth. But I guess before I tell the truth, I have to establish that I actually exist first. Let's watch. Big event. Dave Rubin, Bernier. You can still watch this full event on Right Side Broadcast. Who's that? What's that name? Who's that guy? I think that's me. With the purple tie I bought before the PPC even had colors. Before they could decide on a color.
Hello, everybody. It's not on yet. Testing, testing. There we go. How is everybody? Great. So I'm Frank Vaughn, if you don't know.
They seem to know who I am.
I will be the MC and moderator for tonight's event. But before we do anything, I really want to say thanks to all of you for coming tonight and pushing back against the fascism that's happening outside.
What do I mean by fascism? Look at these cowards picking on this old lady, just trying to get into the event, and they won't move. This little old lady in a walker. I'll never forget her and her spirit because she just kept trying. And there's all these people, but you're going to see a clip. It's coming up in a few seconds. Isn't this just disgusting? But we roll up in a van, and we all pile out. And you can actually see here, Bernier just goes straight in the building, but everybody's got their cameras pointed behind him. And what they're pointing at is me coming up in the rear with Salim Mansour. He couldn't move as quick as he could. And the protesters are pushing this line towards us, and they're screaming profanity, and they're calling him a Nazi, and they're doing all this stuff. And I actually took a few seconds and I confronted all the protesters. And I said, does this man look like he's a white supremacist? I looked them all in the eyes and I faced them down before I went inside. Because that's what you got to do. You got to talk to people. And now for the meat and potatoes of this video. And that is what Maxim Bernier actually is. This is a man who will not face his critics. He only does friendly interviews. He blocks anybody who asks him questions online, and the PPC is a glorified Twitter party. They can't even win Twitter polls anymore because his leadership's so bad, but you're going to notice a trend. This is a man who changes his mind often. Let's just start with COVID.
We are speaking about bold reforms that we need to do in this country. We must maybe, yes, lock down the older people.
Lock down the elderly.
A new way of doing politics in Canada. And yes, the vaccine is there. The vaccine seems to be efficient against that variant.
Actually, right now, The second wave is here.
We do understand the restrictions. We do understand, yes, it's a pandemic.
Pour voyager ou quoi que ce soit, aller en Europe et les pays urbains, si j'ai un passeport vaccinal pour aller dans ces pays-là et je veux y aller, c'est certain que je vais me faire vacciner si je veux.
My dad is 86 years old, he's vulnerable and diabetic, so I encourage him to have the vaccine.
This guy thought the vaccine was efficient. He thought lockdowns were appropriate for the elderly. He recommended the vaccine to his own father and thought that it was completely harmless. And to this day, there's a lot of PPC people who say that the vaccine was 7-Up in a syringe, that it didn't harm anybody, that it was just a scam to make money. Meanwhile, there's people suffering everywhere. This is the most confused party. What happened was Maxime figured out that there was more money to be made in donations on the other side of the line. He saw the protests forming. All the heavy lifting was done by other people by the time he showed up. Let me show you. By the time the PPC showed up at the first protests against the lockdowns, they were already 20,000 strong. The first time the PPC showed up was after they had already been organized. And they made contrived photographs like this one for their own propaganda purposes that made them look like they were leading the march, even though they were in the middle of the crowd. They marketed it. And what that led to is when the Freedom Convoy came along, the Freedom Convoy rejects Bernier's request for involvement because they showed up. They tried to shill for the PPC. They tried to sell merch. They weren't there because of the moral equation. They were there to capitalize on the just anger of people. Now, this party, structurally, is not designed to win. It can't win. They can't get elected dog catcher anywhere. When he last ran in a by-election in the Portage-Lisker riding, I believe it was in Manitoba, where they had secured in 2021 something like 22% of the vote, Bernier kicked out the local candidate that had done better than any other candidate in the country, including Maxime, kicked him out, used the PPC money to house his headquarters people in hotels, wouldn't do anything for the volunteers, and they couldn't get him to leave the hotel room. For all the money spent, he lost 1/4 of the vote share from 2021. In every by-election since, they've lost share, not gained share, because they're led so poorly and by design. They don't want to win. Maxime doesn't want to form a government. He's trying to get to retirement age so he can get the maximum for his pension. That's my guess, because every decision that they make doesn't enable victory, doesn't create the conditions of a thriving party. They resist it every step of the way. Now, I want to talk about my own history when it came to C-19. I was talking about COVID-19 before it became known as COVID-19. This loser is an example of what the PPC is made of these days. You and your wife also pushed masks and shamed people who were against them. Both you and your wife, you are a huge hypocrite. Bringing my wife into this, who's never been part of my work. The only thing my wife did was film videos in our greenhouse and garden to teach people how to be resilient. I could see that something big was coming. When I was talking about C-19, it wasn't known as C-19. I'm talking about it in December of 2019. January, February, March, into April. By the time April was done of 2020, I was also done with the subject because I'd figured it out. Nobody was talking about it when Frank Vaughn was talking about it. And we created the farm videos later on so that I could say to people, in these worrying times, with the government shutting down the supply chain and a lot of things looking like they were coming unglued, the draconian measures that were coming down, we taught people how to be resilient, how to grow your own food, how to have maximum internal peace. Hundreds of people have thanked me over the years for changing their life with that work. And this man wants to bring it up and dismiss it in one sentence. Did I talk about masking in those years when I was talking about it? Absolutely. I never talked about masking. And this was before the mandates. I told people if they wanted to reduce their spread, or their not even the spread, if they wanted to reduce their initial viral load of an unknown pathogen, which I mean, it looked pretty worrying coming out of China in the beginning. And again, this is when nobody was talking about it. Doug Ford was filming in front of Chinese restaurants saying you got to eat Asian food. The Liberal government was saying masks were dangerous. They were saying it was irresponsible and too much of an infringement on charter rights to stop flights coming in from China where this plague was ongoing, the so-called plague was ongoing. I didn't know. I'm just a farmer. I'm seeing something going on and I could figure it out. That when the government flipped their script, when they decided finally that C-19, before it was C-19, was dangerous, they were going to come down on the public with all the power and authority that they had. They were going to declare an emergency. They were going to do all kinds of things. I could see it coming. I couldn't see the details, but I knew it was coming. And I wanted people to be resilient. I wanted them to not be stressed out. And so we focused our efforts on that. When I talked about masking, I said it will reduce your initial viral load for an unknown pathogen. When my wife and I were wearing masks, we were wearing them when no one else was. We got the dirtiest looks in public because we didn't know. When we went to the grocery stores, not to stock up on toilet paper, but to get sundries before they shut down the supply chain, this was before anything came in. We were like, I remember we ran into one person one time who had figured it out. That something bad was coming, something dangerous was coming. Whether it was the pathogen, whether it was the state, something big was coming down the pipe and needed some preparation so that you could weather the storm in peace. So that you could, one of the things I talked about was that your private, even though you don't have private property rights in this country, one of your safest bets was to never take a test and to stay on your property as much as you could, because then you at least had some legal recourse against the state, which was kind of separated you from your family, made vax passports, did all these things that came to pass. I predicted that stuff and tried to get people aware. Now, a mask has very limited utility, and I talked about that in my videos. You can't touch them. The second you touch them, they're void. When you pull them down onto your chin, they're void. They have dangers. I talked about how if you have them on for too long, there's dangers involved in that. But if you were facing an unknown pathogen, reducing your initial viral load, you're still going to get it. The masks aren't foolproof. The virus can still get in there, but you can reduce the amount that you're exposed to and give your immune system a better chance of facing it down, developing some kind of defense mechanism that works, because there's mathematics to how viruses multiply. And if you reduce your initial viral load, you give yourself a better chance. We didn't know what was going to happen. So anyway, that's what we did. And that's what these guys, when you see them lying, saying I pushed the vaccine, I told you before there was even a whisper of a vaccine, that any vaccine that rushed through regulation, that rushed through the regulatory process, that when they give, and I predicted that they would give the pharmaceutical companies immunity from liability, that anything under those circumstances you should avoid. I said it, I said it, I said it. I've got handwritten letters on my fridge that I put there with magnets that people have sent me, thanking me for saving them from that medical experiment, and thousands of emails. That's what I did. These guys lie easily because they're part of a cult. Something else you're going to notice about Maxime Bernier is he always shows up late, or he just gives an excuse for doing stupid things like, whoopsie, I didn't know what I was doing. We're going to see that next. This is a Supreme Court of British Columbia document dated April 16th, 2021. But something that was going on prior to this, right around the same time that I was breaking the story about COVID, before it was COVID, when nobody knew what I was talking about, was Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, a candidate, a prominent candidate for the PPC, was sued and brought before court. Not sued, she was charged. I can't remember the individual charge. Her, Dan Dix, I was served multiple notices by several law firms on behalf of this court case, which had to do with a man trying to save his daughter from being transitioned and castrated, essentially. So we were interviewing this man, and we all defied a court order to not show his face and not reveal his name. Now, Laura Lynn and Dan Dix and these folks, they stuck to it and they kept their videos up. When I got served, I pulled my videos down and I re-interviewed him, or I might have edited the interview and put it back up. I blacked out his face. I did all the legal requirements, and they actually brought me up in court and saying why, and they looked at the other people, and I'm not defaming them for what they did, but they actually used me as an example of how to continue to use free speech and also be lawful while I was doing it. But I digress. By the time this situation had matured, Laura Lynn was already in court, Our people were already under assault. Bernier hadn't said a word. Another thing that people don't know is that back in 2019 and 2018, Maxime Bernier would not touch this gender issue. He had no concern for it. It wasn't on his radar, and he turned people down point blank whenever they brought it up and wanted it to become part of our policy. That's a fact anybody that was there can verify. So when Laura was going to court and I was being served legal notices, I called up Max, and I called up Martin Mas, who's actually the author of Maxime Bernier most of the time. He's the brains behind the PPC. And I said, if you don't say something about this, I am out. One of our biggest people is in court right now fighting this nonsense. You need to take a public position or I'm leaving. And they did. Now, I ended up leaving a couple months later anyway because the PPC is so badly organized and has no real work ethic. One of the things that people don't know is it's hard to get Maxime Bernier out of his hotel room. He shows up for Nerf ball things and then he flies back down to Florida. But we'll get into that next. The point I'm trying to make is he's hailed as this hero for talking about gender. He didn't want to talk about it. He had to be dragged into it because our people were being targeted by the state. And do you think he contributed to the legal defense of CD or anybody else in this case? Just like in 2019 when we ran in the election, HQ didn't help any of the EDAs, either financially or with actual tangible advice, to build an electoral model that could actually achieve victory. Because I honestly think they don't want victory. It's just a piggy bank. That's what it is. Anyway, Laura was left floundering, and the only reason anything changed was because of guys like me who demanded it. Now let's briefly examine Maxime's track record of terrible judgment. PPC leader Maxime Bernier announces Sask federal candidates during visit. And down here we have a guy by the name of Trevor Woke. Who is he? Well, former PPC candidate Trevor Woke granted bail again after breach allegations. Now, the story here is not that this guy slipped through the cracks of vetting. The riding that he ran in had duly elected their own candidate. Maxime Bernier stepped in, kicked that candidate out because under the PPC, you have no constitution, you have no rights. Your votes can be cast away whenever Max wants because he's a dictator. So he came in. He kicked out the guy they wanted, and he parachuted in this guy. Turns out this guy was running a bunch of motel rub-and-tugs. Why did Maxime Bernier hand-pick him? Another interesting one is this individual. People's Party disavows former candidate who received $7.9 million for the Arrive Can Vaccine Passport app. Is this why Maxime Bernier spoke favorably in French of getting the vaccine so that he could fly? And how did Maxime spend the winter of 2021 down in Florida if he couldn't get on a plane? Do you think maybe there's something fishy going on? This is just another example. Here's another piece of bad judgment. Rural MPs vote for Bill C-71 or Hyde. Mad Max and Osho. C-71 started the assault on lawful gun owners in this country that led to the order in councils and everything else. This was during the time when he briefly still sat in the House after he had quit the Conservative Party and was part of the PPC, founding the PPC. I thought this was a crucial vote for him to attend to, but he decided to skip it for his own reasons. Symbols are important in politics. You actually have to keep your word. Now, here's another one. How Maxime Bernier sacrificed his front bench seat over a sacred cow. Now, this is during the CPC time. And the history lesson here is there's this book. Maxime Bernier leaked a chapter out of his book. It was curious enough that Bernier felt the need to write a book about himself and his vision for Canada after he lost the CPC leadership race this year. And so a chapter of this book, which is still available online, was released. There was never a book. It was never released. It was never published. He said he was going to finish it, and he never did because it didn't exist. Bernier didn't even write this. That's my guess. This was a concoction to create tension with the Conservative Party to try and force them to kick him out. They wouldn't kick him out because they weren't stupid. So he was forced to quit during their convention. This was part of the reason that I supported Max. I believed this story at the time. I only learned in subsequent events that this was all a myth. It was all a concoction. The book never existed. A lot of the tensions within the Conservative Party never existed. Now, I do believe that the leadership vote was not fair. I don't think Bernier lost it. I think they rigged it. There were phantom ballots all over the place. A bunch of nervous people came out on stage and announced that they were going to shred the ballots the night of the vote in 2017. I was there. The whole thing, I witnessed it myself. It was sketchy as hell. So I think it was stolen, but I subsequently learned why. Bernier wanted control of the Conservative Party fund. He didn't want to appoint a representative to the fund. He wanted to sit on the fund at the same time as he was the leader of the Conservative Party. And the establishment behind the Conservative Party could not allow that to happen. And so they didn't allow that to happen. And ever since then, Bernier has been fueling this tension to create the narrative, the justification for him leaving. And by the way, another lie that you'll see come out of the CPC or the PPC's mouth is that I was forced out of the party. I quit. That's on the record. I tried extensively to get them to give a constitution to the members of the PPC because, as I showed in my videos, in every single video that has PPC in the title, I would encourage you to watch it because I provide the speeches. I show you how Maxime was proud of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I show you how he was proud of the Foreign Investment Protection Act, which gave China extrajudicial control over Canada and their investments here. He was proud of it. He wanted more of it. That was part of his leadership platform in 2017. And once again, he went, oopsie, I didn't mean to do that. Another reason, another way that he said oopsie was over, where is it? Conservative leadership candidate Maxime Bernier reverses support for transgender bills, right? Bill C-16. Bernier voted for it. He was proud to have voted for it. And later on, he just said, whoopsie, I didn't know it was in it. I voted to pass a bill, and I didn't even know the contents of it. But maybe this is closer to the truth. Here's Bernier out with LGBT Tory, which brought sodomy into the Conservative Party of Canada, and he was more than happy to wear their shirt. He was more than happy to march alongside them. And this is in the lead-up to C-16. So once again, Max's answer is, whoopsie, I've changed my mind. Changed his mind on China. Changed his mind on C-16. Made terrible judgment calls when it came to his candidates, which he personally picked. Oh, and there's more to that story. Here's this individual, Rene DeVries from Markham-Stouffville, running there. He's a wealthy man, a businessman. Maybe that's why Max likes him. He likes money. He is the senior vice president of a company called Arcadis Canada Incorporated. What is Arcadis? A World Economic Forum member. Isn't that interesting? They're always talking about the CPC. But this is still going on to this day within the PPC, and they're blind. The last thing in the world I wanted to do was spend today's edition talking about this subject. But the fact of the matter is, Max is about to scourge another crop of people. He's going to the United States to appear on podcasts. Who knows what podcasts he's going to go on? People need to know the history. The Americans aren't concerned with the details when it comes to Canada. They're just looking for people to put in front of a camera to explain what's gone wrong mentally with Canada. And it just so happens that Maxime Bernier can fit that bill. So he's going to capitalize on that again, just like he's capitalized on all of these other issues. People don't seem to realize that Maxime was the second most powerful man in the Harper government and was very proud of his record serving Stephen Harper. Nowadays, he says, I was just doing what I was told. I had no control. I had to bow my head and go along to get along. So you're telling me a sheep is going to lead Canada into the promised land, self-admitted. Do you understand all the inherent contradictions that are inside of the PPC right now? You talk about being for freedom, yet you don't have a constitution. Your members have no rights. You people are serfs. You get to volunteer and send money. That's all you get to do. You have no control. You have no say. Maxime can parachute himself into any riding he wants. And now he's got a war chest, which you people have bestowed upon him, which I think if we get an election, he's going to spend fighting the Conservative Party of Canada. And then when the money's gone, I think he's going to retire on you. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. And before he appears on these podcasts, I just want people to have a little bit of context. And by the way, I exist. And when I started the PPC with Max, I cared about the people. I felt in 2019 that we needed a better federalist option, one that actually represented the people. And I think in three cycles, we could have taken government if we had have just conducted ourselves with a bit of wisdom. What does it say that Max doesn't want to share power with his people and his party? He will not give them a constitution until he retires. His own words. He's a dictator. He doesn't trust his people, which also means he doesn't trust his leadership ability to keep them in line. If he had have done what he said he was going to do, I would have been there to help him convince people that we were the right option, because we would have been. But he didn't. And I wonder, I have to wonder, if that was the intention all along, was to just build a fundraising effort, a junket, to try and undermine the CPC for vengeance purposes, because we, it's not we anymore. The PPC is at the bottom of the polls for a reason. They're stuck there. It's a known quantity. Canada knows what it is. They're not going to vote for it, at least under his leadership. So if you want a new Federalist option, he's got to get out of the way first, because he occupies a space where something better could be. Now, it is 2025. The things that I predicted when I ran for the election in 2019 have come to pass. We are on the verge of a national unity crisis, and I got to be honest with you, when it comes to voting, and this is one last thing, I don't owe you advice on who to vote for. I'm here to tell the truth. I critique Pierre. This is what people say. They say I'm in the tank for Pierre. When I criticize Pierre, they say I'm in the tank for the PPC. People call me liberals. People call me communist. I tell the truth about everybody. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you reality. I'm revealing that the emperor has no clothes, regardless of what emperor you want to look at. So I don't know what I'm going to do. My hope is with the provinces. Separation's looking awfully good for the West right now. It has been for a long time. 150 years in opposition to Ottawa. Ottawa doing everything in their power to hold the Western provinces down. And now they want us to be the first over the wall to die in a battle with the United States we shouldn't even be fighting. There's an ocean between us and Europe. The Americans are right next door, and they've always been there with money. They've always been willing to save our, prop up our dairy business and prop up our cartels here by agreeing to the tariffs that we charge them. We're not good up here. Our politicians are not the just people, and I could care less if 80% of Canada doesn't believe what I'm saying. It's the truth. And so I'm going to keep saying it no matter what. So do I have a Federalist hope? I don't know. I don't know if there's enough there to draw me out to vote on election day. My hope is with the provinces right now. But that could change. And you'll find out about that change in this video. If we actually get an opportunity to have an election in this country, I may just cast my vote, because it might be the last opportunity I get to cast that vote. I'll figure that out when we get there. But as it sits right now, under the Constitution, under this terrible Federalist system that we all live and are subject under, where we have no property rights, we have no real rights, the government can suspend our rights anytime they want. Under this subject system, the vote is all we get. And so maybe I'll use it. I don't know. But one thing is for damn sure, Europe is not the way to go. The EU is an undemocratic body. It's terrible. The people you elect to the EU can't propose legislation. They can only debate it. Everything is decided from on high. We don't want this. Shouldn't we dispense with our king? Shouldn't we dispense with this federation and renegotiate it? Shouldn't we have an elected Senate? Shouldn't we have these things? And if we can't get it, maybe it's time we engaged with other possibilities, which right now we have an opportunity to do something different. How much pain does Canada need to experience before we wake up? How much pain does Western Canada have to feel in defense of Ottawa, in defense of Eastern Canadian elites, before we wake up and choose our own destiny? I'm Frank Vaughn. I will see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.